Welcome to this week's Bright Church podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
But we are creatures of comfort, are we not? Give it a few years and that will probably be a reality. That's a scary thing. But we are creatures of comfort and we love it. Humans love comfort. We are convinced that we need it. We set our lives up for comfort because it makes us feel good. That stuff is really just picking fun at us as humans is what we like and the things that we put around ourselves to buffer out all the things that we don't like when we come into places like church. Because let's be honest, most of us freak out at the very thought of discomfort. No one woke up this morning and thought, gee, I hope I find myself in a lot of uncomfortable positions this morning. Thank you, Lord. No one did that. I would personally like to think that I'm very adaptable to change, but those that know me well would know that is far from the truth, that I can easily go with the flow. But in the last 12 months, I've had to do that. I've had to really intentionally do that and go on that journey. But the plain old truth is we don't like discomfort. We don't like struggle and we don't like difficulty. So we try really hard to avoid those situations. That's why I make fun of the go say hi to someone. There is actually method in the madness of go say hi to someone. It's, you know, to connect with other humans in this thing called church, which is family. And so there's a method in it. But this morning, I want to propose something different to you. Something that maybe you haven't thought about, but that in the last little 12, 18 months, I've really been thinking about. And God has really been impressing on me, bringing this concept along into my focus. And something that might shift your perspective when it comes to that lifeness that I was talking about being ruffled. And those things that make you, you know, shift in your seat and get a little bit uncomfortable, or those things that make you pretend that you never heard God's voice. You know, when he's speaking, the Holy Spirit's whispering and you're, sorry, what? Those times. And maybe you're in a season of that where God is speaking to you, or there's some cushions being pulled out from underneath you and some lounges being shifted and things just being put in place that are a little bit uncomfortable and that you never asked for. And I want to propose to you and chat about this concept of divine discomfort. And what is it? But I want to preface it before diving in. I do want to say that discomfort isn't pain. They're very different. And so if you're in a season of pain, please hear me correctly. This morning I'm not talking about pain. Pain is very raw, it's very real, and it's trauma. It's very different to what I'm talking about this morning. So I want you to just relax. What I'm saying is about discomfort. It's the little squirmy parts of life. It's not the trauma of life. So I just wanted to make sure you understand that. So the meaning of discomfort is this. It's very profound. Discomfort is anything that interferes with comfort. I know. It's groundbreaking. Its other meaning is or an inconvenience. And there are a lot of things that come across our path as humans and as Christians that are very inconvenient. And we get very good at being able to palm off the inconveniences. But I want to put it to you as a Christian this morning, what it is to have divine discomfort in your world. And when I was in year 12, I may have talked about part of this story before, but there's this thing called the Duke of Edinburgh Award, and I think a few of our young guys in here have done it before, and I did this three-day hike. I know, you're all probably thinking, you were a hiker, as if, Amy. I'm not anymore. That's done. I got my award and I finished. But this was a three-day hardcore hike, as in no paths, no tracks, no nothing. The whole thing had to be done on a compass. You had zero clue where you were going. You had to pack all your food and make your own fires and all that Bear Grylls stuff. But we got to the first night. So it was a three-night camp, and you had to carry your own sleeping bag. We got to the first camp. We set up out in the middle of nowhere. There's no shelter, nothing like that. You're sleeping on a sleeping bag on the ground, which, again, is right up my alley. And I took out my sleeping bag, all of my stuff, put down the bottom layer, pulled out my clothes for the night and my sleeping bag, and the bottom half of absolutely everything was saturated because not only was it a three-day hike, but it poured rain for the entire 3 days. So the bottom half of all of my clothes, all of my sleeping bag, everything was just satched. So for the entire trek, I slept in this wet sleeping bag with wet clothes And I crawled for the last 6 hours of this hike on my hands and knees because I was so over it. I hated every minute of this utter discomfort of this hike. Like, it's nothing to me now. Duke of Ed means nothing to me now. It's not doing anything for me. But it forced me to move really quickly to get out of that discomfort. It was pushing everything in me to get away from the sleeping bag, I just wanted warmth and I wanted comfort and I wanted away from the sogginess of where I'd found myself. But there are times in life where I feel like we respond like that to God. God decides that he'll move some pieces around that we didn't ask him to. Or when he flips the script that you wrote for your life or that I wrote for my life, and things aren't as comfortable as you'd like him to let them be. You know, just let me be, God. Just let me have it. It's not really all that bad, God. They're not bad things. They're just comfortable things. And we get frustrated and inconvenienced that our warm sleeping bag is being disturbed by the King of Kings, heaven forbid, when we were perfectly happy with the setup that we had. But I want to take you to a passage in Luke 9 where Jesus is very clear about what this means. He's having a very interesting and very confronting conversation that if I was one of the disciples, I would have done a meet and greet situation and popped to the loo for if Jesus was having this with me. And he basically calls them out on who they believe him to be. And then he goes on to challenge them about what it means to truly follow Jesus. Because sometimes I think as Christians, we do what John Chris does in the video, and we pick all the comfortable parts and then we create this little system and then that's our self-choosing. We're like, that's what I want. That's it. I've chosen that all. It's comfortable for me. But he goes on to challenge them about what it truly means to follow Jesus. The thing he doesn't do is he doesn't quote any Christian checklists. He doesn't quote any 10-step guidelines. He says this in Luke 9:23. Jesus said to all of his followers, which, you know, in essence is us, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely. Embrace my cross as your own and surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourself, you will lose what you try to keep. And I don't know if you've ever tried to keep something when someone's trying to take it away from you. It's very hard. But this scripture is saying you will lose what you try to keep. Jesus never promised a smooth ride. That doesn't say there's going to be palm trees and strawberries and pina coladas and there'll be a nice cool breeze and it'll be the temperature that you want. It's not going to be like that. Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say in that conversation that following him is easy. He doesn't say that there won't be sacrifice. In fact, he says it's all about self-sacrifice. And I don't want you to switch off because this is where the divine discomfort gets in. So if you're starting to shift in your seat and you're like, you know, it's getting a little bit, the conviction level's a little bit high right now. It's got to tone it down on my little monitor. As Christians, we're called to cross-carry, not cloud float. There's nowhere in the Bible that God's going, you know, just swan on by. God's saying, take up your cross and follow me. There's nothing pretty about that. But the Bible is very clear when it calls us to die to the flesh. And all that really means is you got to die to the things that are all about you. All the things that we set up around us that are about us, they're not really about anybody else, if we're going to be honest. Not feed it. It says, die to the flesh, don't feed the flesh. But it's in that place of discomfort and sacrifice where Jesus says, it's not in the comfort zone, you will embark on a discovery of true life. See, we think that when it's easy and when it's all just flowing and all the doors are opening, which, hear me correctly, God does do that. And God has grace and with ease when he's called you to do something and he will do that. But there are other times where it's a little bit uncomfortable because it doesn't say in the Bible everything that you choose to do with God is going to be a piece of cake. But we've allowed discomfort to become our foe when I think God wants to use it to become our friend. And it sounds ridiculous because I don't want discomfort to be my friend. I am constantly pushing up against it and trying to push it away. And God's actually asking me to lean into it. And it just completely goes against my thinking. But we've allowed it to become this thing that we try and reject when God is actually saying, how about you allow me to pull it in close and let me use it for something greater than yourself? And Brad and I have two young children, 9 and 5, nearly 9 and 5. And as parents, we try and monitor how much sugar our children have, which I'm sure you do as well. But it feels like everything has sugar in it these days. Everything. Doesn't matter what it is, it all has sugar in it. And no matter how much I tell my children and tell my girls, you know what, girls, don't eat that. It's got a lot of white sugar in it. It's really bad for you. And I use all the shock tactics. It'll do this, it'll do, and eventually it'll just be horrible. Everything is horrible about it. They don't care. I just want another Kinder Surprise, mummy. I just want another packet of crisps, mummy. Their desire for it is still there because they've tasted it once. But here's the thing. I believe comfort is the white sugar of our generation. It's sweet. It's addictive. Its persuasive power is subtle yet strong. And once you've experienced it even a little bit, it's very hard not to seek it again. It's very hard to not go looking for the cushy bits of life and just staying there because that's nice, or only talking to the people that you like at church because it's nice, and only sitting in the certain chair because it's nice. But life isn't always nice, and it's not always cushy. Galatians 6:8 says this, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction." But here's the good bit. "Whoever sows to please the Spirit of God, from the Spirit of God will reap eternal life." Comfort doesn't take you there. Self-sacrifice does. So what Jesus did on the cross, God didn't say, you know, "I've got this thing I need you to do, Jesus. It's going to be real easy, just a breeze. It's saving humanity, but it's going to be easy." It wasn't easy. We all know what it was for Jesus to pay that sacrifice for all of us. But when you spend too much time in this comfort zone, and I don't know what the triggers are for you, but I know what my triggers are when I've been too comforted. And at this stage of my life, God usually comes in and he'll just rip something right out. He's not gentle anymore. He usually, you know, he used to just move a cushion over, but now he goes, "Nope, I'm just going to take that whole thing from you." Because you actually don't need it the way you think you do, Amy. It's just puffing you up. You don't actually need it. But it can create this thing I like to call a comfort radar. And we've all got one because we're human. So everyone's got one. And, you know, we bring it into family events and we bring it into our workplace and we can bring it into church. I hope I like the music today. I hope they play the songs I like. Gee, I hope the teaching's good today. I can't deal with confronting or challenging, so I hope it's not. This week I'm headed straight to the toilet in the meet and greet because there is no way I'm going to talk to people that I don't know. That's too uncomfortable. Of course I'll serve on team. Sure, no worries. As long as it's convenient and comfortable for me, oh, and I won't be able to work with people. Do we have jobs like that at church? Do we have serving roles like that at church? Cleaning the toilets. Anyway, but we read our Bibles through the eyes of comfort. I've done it. When I'm feeling down about myself, I go for the good bits. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. The blessing of the Lord be on you." And then we get to the next bit. Therefore, something about submit wholeheartedly. There's an authority of God. "You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out." My sacrifice. Something about sacrifice. Blah, 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 broken spirit, blah, 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 contrite heart, blah, 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 do not forget. "For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Because in all honesty, I'm not waking up each morning and hoping that God directs me to these verses that are from the Word of God. Philippians 1:20. "Now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Mark 9:49. "Everyone will pass through the fire," awesome, "and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt." 1 Peter 2:19. "For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. I was really hoping those kinds of scriptures weren't in my daily reading this morning. But all of this is relevant. The comfortable, the uncomfortable, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's relevant because it's straight from the heart of God and He knows you better than you know yourself. And in Romans 8, 5 to 9, there's a little bit in this. It says this, the first part says, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what, and let me say this, we're all motivated by the flesh at some point. We're humans and that's just how we operate. We're all motivated by that. But you do have a choice on how much you let yourself be motivated by the flesh. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to His direction because it cannot. And then it drops down a little bit and it says this in verses 12 to 13. This is in the Passion Translation. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, then we taste abundant life. And your flesh will tell you that you need things that you don't need. And it'll convince you that you need that because if you don't have it, you won't be satisfied. But I want to challenge you this morning that what you find in the area of divine discomfort, you need more than what you find in the area of comfort. It challenges something in me that I've never found anywhere else when I was comfortable. It's upset my apple cart. It's challenged my theology. It's challenged how I do things. It's flipped my script completely for all the right reasons. And those verses really challenge me to consider what I'm actually motivated by. Because when you're motivated by your flesh and when you're motivated by comfort, you're not living by the Spirit of God. You're living to yourself. And then I ask myself, am I only willing to do something for God if it's comfortable for me? It's not comfortable to leave your family and your friends in another city and move somewhere else where you don't know anyone. That's not comfortable. It's not comfortable to preach in non-English speaking countries where you don't know anybody and you don't know if they're actually understanding it. It's not comfortable to serve somewhere where maybe that's you don't know the other people in the team. But if you were here for Vision Sunday last week, you would have heard that our theme for the year is beyond ourselves. That means it's not all about us. It's beyond. It's outside of ourselves. And that means that God might ask us to do something that brings us a little bit of discomfort. But I want to challenge you to look at it as divine discomfort. I want to challenge you to look at it as and say, you know what? Where is God moving in this? What is He going to do with this? This situation that I'm currently in right now, this preaching situation, is great discomfort for me. It doesn't come easy for me, this. When I was growing up, I didn't ask to be a preacher. If you ask my husband, I ask him to just don't put me on the roster, please. I'm trying to get away from it as much as I can. This is not easy for me. It puts me in a place of great discomfort. Do you know why? Because it costs me my time. It costs me my pride. It costs me emotional energy, the stuff you go through when you're preaching, when you're prepping, it's not always comfortable. It forces me to pay a cost. And sometimes when I'm sitting there and whinging to God about, you know, I don't want to do this. This is so hard. It's not me. It's not natural for me. God, He says, but it's helping you pay a cost, Amy. This is a cost. It's putting aside myself and realizing that this isn't about me. This is about seeing people's lives change through the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what I say, really. It's actually about God, you and God having a meeting this morning and your life being changed so you walk out those doors differently than when you walked in. And if that causes me discomfort during the week, then so be it. Because that is the call of God that God has put on my life. It's not painful. It's not life-threatening. It's not out of my realm of ability. It's just a bit it's just a bit uncomfortable. It's not something that's going to take me out. Discomfort is something that I'm now learning to embrace and allow God to show me the purpose in it. Why on earth, God, would you take a 5'2" little girl from England way back who lived in Newcastle, who doesn't have a clue, who wasn't necessarily top of the class at school, and then stick her on a stage in front of 200 people when she does have confidence issues and ask her to impart the word of God and truth into people's lives? That bewilders me. But you know what? He has a reason. And his word says that he'll just use anybody. Anyone who's willing that says, if you want to speak my word and it's not your words, I'll use you. It doesn't matter. I don't care where you came from. I don't care how smart you are. Because preaching the word of God is not about intelligence. It's about how much you're like, you know what, God, these are some words, there's some thoughts I've got. It's what you've spoken to me, Holy Spirit, and the rest is yours. Because I don't want to allow how I feel to supersede what God has called me to do. Because let me tell you, there were plenty of opportunities this week and this morning where I very, very, very easily could have palmed this off to Brad and said, can you please do this for me? It's uncomfortable. I don't want to do it. But the Holy Spirit just sits there and he goes, it's you. I've asked you to do it. I didn't ask him. I asked you to do it. So get up and speak the word of God. He didn't put a cushion behind my back and give me a bottle of water. He just said, get up and speak the word of God and speak the truth. A little bit of discomfort won't hurt me, but a lot of comfort will. And if you spend too much time there, it might feel okay at the start, but I want to tell you that it actually distances you. It clouds your ability to be able to hear the Spirit of God because you put so many comfort walls up around you, you can't actually hear him anymore because you don't need him. I want to be so far out of my comfort zone that all I need is him. Because at the end of the day, I couldn't do this week without him. Brad couldn't help me. No one else could help me. Just the Holy Spirit. And once you get there, it's like being on a precipice at the end of a plank, which is where I feel like I've been for the last 6 years. Just at the end of a plank, teetering. And that's exactly where God wants me because it's not comfortable out there. There are a lot of times where I can think where I've missed opportunities in God because I wasn't willing to embrace the discomfort. I just pretended it wasn't happening and I let it go. And he let that happen because in my mind, I'd set it up to be way more uncomfortable than what it actually is. Because you know what? I'll finish preaching this message and I'll get down. I won't die. It'll be fine. You know, maybe someone might get impacted and that's awesome. But at the end of the day, we keep moving. The truth is this, God is a good father. He's very good. Even if right now you're facing some things that aren't good and that tell you otherwise. I was chatting, she won't like this, but I was chatting to my church mum, Helen Webb, who I shared my birthday with her Brucey yesterday. We share the same birthday. And she went through some pretty tough stuff last year. And it could have appeared to everybody else that God was not good. But I want to tell you the things that came out of her mouth were all about God being good. And this morning she reminded me that God is good no matter what. And that she is facing far more than discomfort. So I'm not comparing in any way. But here is a woman that will show you that when you walk it with God, he will take all of that. He doesn't usher us towards situations that cause us discomfort simply because he wants to make our lives hard. That's not what a good dad does. He doesn't pull the cushions away or remove the comfy seats or take away the comfort crutch without a reason. Do you know why? Because God always moves with purpose. He's not aimless. He doesn't not have a plan. He doesn't not know what he's doing, so he just comes up with something random. He's not random. God always moves with purpose, whether you can see it or not. And so he ushers us towards uncomfortable obedience so that we can experience his power and his comfort and his joy and be formed into the likeness of Jesus. And that's what's happening when you're in divine discomfort. You're becoming like Jesus. And I would way rather become more like Jesus than more like myself. I don't want to become more like myself. I want to become more like Jesus. And that doesn't happen when I'm comfortable and I've set things up around myself. It happens when I'm in a discomfort zone that makes me agitated and it's inconvenient because God is trying to get my attention. And that discomfort that you might be feeling is actually God prying you away from cheap happiness, because that's all it is. It's just cheap happiness. It's fleeting. And inviting you into a deeper joy rather than fleeting comfort. Because let's be honest, life is going to throw some discomfort your way, and no matter how well you have it set up, life still happens. And when you then realize that, and you realize that God is trying to just take you away from something that's just, it's empty, you will actually discover a joy that far surpasses anything you can find in the comfort zone. I'd just get the band to come up. That would be great. And I know that because it says this in verse 6. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in a season of discomfort, if you're in a season where God is just moving some things around, or maybe He's taking some things away, and there are some things that I know in my world that He's doing that I've convinced myself I need, because if I'm left on my own, or if I have to do it on my own, I won't be able to do it. And the Holy Spirit is going to great lengths to remind me that that is not the case, that He is the God of the universe, and that if He's put me there, He will equip me to do what I need to do. And so if that means a little bit of discomfort, I'm choosing to just lean into it a little bit more, then go, God, I don't like it. I don't like it, but I'm choosing to lean into it a little bit more. And the Bible is full of examples of people who endured discomfort through following Jesus. And most of them didn't even know why. God just said, off you go. And they're like, are you serious? At 99 years old, God made a covenant with Abram and sealed the deal with more discomfort. You're going to change your name, you're going to get circumcised, and then you're going to have kids. That's great discomfort right there. Need I say more? And yet the guy said, no worries, God, sure. I'm up for it. There's going to be a little bit of discomfort there. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Jonah was called to Nineveh and then swallowed by a whale. Daniel got thrown into a lion's den. I can imagine there was a little bit of discomfort there. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were put in a fiery furnace. Little bit of discomfort, little bit of heat. But what I know of these people is that it didn't force them out. It actually forced them further in. It forced them further into God. Because, I mean, by the time you get to a lion's den or a fiery furnace, why back out? You're in that far now. Just go the whole way. And that is what I think God is calling us as Christians to. What I pose this question to you this morning. What if discomfort is actually a divine appointment to allow God to move more powerfully in your life than if you stayed comfortable? What if? Because I believe as Christians, God is actually calling us to a life of radical discomfort. He is. If you read the Word, it's not always comfortable. Jesus wasn't always comfortable, yet He kept moving. He kept walking. He kept finding people. He kept gathering. He kept loving. It's not comfortable to have 5,000 people pleading for you for food and expecting you to just do something, yet He pressed in that little bit more. It's not comfortable to be in a church family with people that you might not know, yet this is where God's called you to, and it's just that little bit uncomfortable. But I'm telling you that there is life and peace, and I know it because it's in the Word of God. If you choose to let God process you through the discomfort, it's divine for a reason. I believe He wants to take us to a place of making a difference for Jesus, not simply living for what feels comfortable. And I want to challenge some people this morning. You've been walking with Jesus for a really long time, but it's been too comfortable. It's been too easy. And this morning, God's going, come on, there's so much on your life. I whispered promises to you. I whispered stuff to you when you were young, and yet you chose comfort over my call. And it's going to be uncomfortable. He's pretty blunt with the truth. He doesn't put up to you white sugar and then give you coconut sugar, which is really yucky. He doesn't do that. He tells you straight up, it's not going to be easy, but I promise you, life and peace in abundance. And as always with Jesus, at the core of it, at the core of His heart is love. He doesn't do anything without a motivation of love. It's just that we look at it and we think that it's painful and we think that it's yucky and we think that he doesn't like us anymore. But he has that for each of us, and he doesn't want us to stay the same. And this is the game changer for us as Christians. I just want everyone to close their eyes for a minute. Because this is for all of us, whether it's today, maybe you're just feeling fine, or maybe you're in a season of feeling discomfort and God is shifting some things around. I want to encourage you and challenge you to look for the reason why. Ask the Holy Spirit, why am I feeling this discomfort? Why, Holy Spirit? Show me your purpose in it. Show me your ways in it, God, because I want to process and move through it so that I come out of it different to the way I went in it. And the game changer to comfort is this. It's found in John 14, 21. And it says this, straight from the mouth of Jesus. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. And sometimes that comes at the cost of our own comfort, at the cost of our time, at the cost of our pride, at the cost of our own agenda and setting it aside and saying, not my will, God, but yours. And so right now, Holy Spirit, as we close, I ask that in your gentle, beautiful way, that you would speak to the hearts that are feeling that discomfort but have maybe put it under the banner of pain, or maybe thought that you were just trying to take them through something for no reason. God, I pray that you would show them that you are at work, that you are moving for a reason, that you would remind them that it's just discomfort, it's not pain, that you would remind them that it won't take them out, that you would remind them that it is making them into the likeness of Jesus so that they're not like themselves, God. And I pray that all of us, next time you come and do some shifting around, Holy Spirit, we'd be aware of what you're doing, God, and we'd say, okay, God, I know I'm not going to necessarily like this, but I'm in. I'm going to lean into the divine discomfort and know that your word promises life and peace when I set the flesh aside and I walk by your Spirit. Jesus, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word. I seal it right now, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Have a blessed week.